fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And speaking of which, we want to welcome you and invite you to our Marconi party brought to you by Chick-fil-A on Eagle Road. That's Chick-fil-A on Eagle Road. I'd love to see you there a week from Friday, October 17th. We're going to be there from 5 to 9. They're going to open early. I love Chick-fil-A. Maybe you've never had a Chick-fil-A. It's great. I want to thank Brad and Amy. Had a chance to speak with Brad this weekend. Great folks. Wonderful, wonderful members of our community, and we look forward to being there. We'll have the Marconi Award. You can get your picture taken with it and hang out. You know, usually we do this once or twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas and maybe even Easter, not even Easter, but Easter, where we bring everybody together. We'll invite all our great contributors, Tea Party Bob, Liberal Steve, everyone is invited. And whether you call in or whether you just listen, and I don't say just listen because without you, I wouldn't be here. We'd love for you to join us, and just a way to stop in before work. And it might be a good place to take a detour considering all the travel, the traffic problems in and around Eagle Road. Joining us now is author Larry Kane to talk a little bit about Nampa. Larry, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good to have you with us here. How are you?
Pretty good, and you?
I'm living the dream. So tell us a little bit about Nampa and your book on Nampa. What are we going to learn about Nampa that we don't know about it already, sir?
Well, it takes images, photographs that try to tell the story of the history of how Nampa began and grew. And of course, that each chapter has a reason. For instance, transportation is the first chapter, and that's why Nampa even exists. It was on the railroad, the main line, and it was a siding, and the railroad named the town Nampa. And from that, it grew into what it is today. And it at one time during the 1920s, up until the 1960s, it was probably the biggest transportation hub in the state.
Well, why did they name it Nampa? Do you know?
You know, that's been a lot of people have looked into that.
Right.
And there is a Nampa, British Columbia. And I even looked into how they got their name. They don't know either. It's just something that somebody who's lost in the mist of time came up with.
Well, let's get back to the transportation. So the railroads were here. They were building west and everything, and they decided to just create this town. How did it work out?
Actually, what they did, see, it was a siding where they switched cars, and this was very early. This was in the 1880s, and because the siding was there, there was a man named Alexander Duffus who platted the town, incorporated and platted the town, and started selling lots, and that's because it was on the railroad. Well, that went into some severe financial problems, and Colonel Dewey, W.H. Dewey, purchased the company from Duffus, and then the town really took off because he built the great hotel, the Dewey Palace Hotel at Nampa. And in fact, I have a book from 1904, a travel book, that says it was the finest hotel between Denver and San Francisco. From that point, the town really took off because not only did Colonel Dewey, he believed in transportation. He had made his millions in mining. He started a railroad called the Idaho Northern, which is still in existence today. And it went during his lifetime. It started towards Emmett because there was a gold strike in the Thunder Mountain District. Later on, his son, Ed Dewey, finished that Idaho Northern on the way to McCall. Then there was the Boise, Nampa, and Owyhee Railroad that went from Nampa to Murphy, where they shipped mining products, silver from Silver City, and, of course, an awful lot of cattle and some lumber. And at that time, there was a small branch line that went to Boise. Boise was not on the main line. And they didn't get on the main line until 1925.
So we have that as far as Nampa getting on the main line, switching the cars. So to go from a transportation hub to where it is today, Mr. Kane, how did that happen?
Well, basically, Nampa grew because of agriculture and the railroad. Because in 1925, they built the Pacific Fruit Express, which was a joint operation between the Union Pacific Railroad and the Southern Pacific. And what they did, they built refrigerated cars so that they could ship this produce out of this area and other places, but anywhere in the United States and Canada. So that gave it a big boost, along with the growing agricultural area around the town. And of course, you know, anytime you're on transportation, everything comes and goes.
Sure. Larry Kane with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, talking about his new book, Nampa, from Arcadia Publishing. Larry, let me hit you with this. What about Nampa's relationship with Boise? How does that play into it? Because you always hear, well, the first state of Ada, how historically have they developed each of them?
You know, of course, like I said, they're... Boise was only on a branch line, and it came into Nampa. But then there was the interurban at that time, which it began around 1907 and went into the 1920s. This was what they call today light rail, and it went from Boise to Caldwell to Nampa and back to Boise, and they called it the Loop. And, of course, that tied the two towns together. And another thing that was big was high school sports. The Nampa-Boise had a very strong rivalry, and in fact, there's some interesting things that started in the 1930s and went through in the 1940s. It seemed like every time they played a game, there was big fights all over the streets.
Now, what about with the influx? You've had several people come in from other states. You've had industry come to Boise. You've had industry come to Nampa. How do you view both cities today, sir?
Well, industry and business, that's one of the chapters. It follows in Nampa what the businesses were, such as one of them was the big one was the sugar factory, the Utah Sugar Factory, which was originally here in 1907. Then they had a beet blight, and the farmers thought that these people were doing them wrong, and they quit selling them beets. So they picked that factory up, brick by brick, and moved it to Spanish Fork, Utah. But then it came back, another sugar factory came in, and it was a big, huge success. And, of course, it's still here just north of Nampa on Northside Boulevard. And, again, it's connected with agriculture. And there were lumber mills here in the early days, but because of the transportation. But they got rid of those. It was too hard to bring them down, so they started cutting the wood in Emmett, and then shipping it down in, as a finished product to Nampa.
All right. Well, Larry Kane, we appreciate it. Anything else you'd like to share where we can get your book?
The book is always available at the Canyon County Historical Society at the Depot Museum in Nampa. And I'm coming out with another book. There are going to be two of them out this month. The other one is a much more detailed account of the period between 1925 and 1950. So these two books intermesh, and they really, really tell the story of what happened in this valley, because the other book, it has a lot about Caldwell, Boise, and all the small towns like Melba and Cuna and Middleton and so forth. And there will be a book signing on November 8th at the Depot Museum at the Canyon County Historical Society. That's Saturday, November 8th from 10 to 2.
Well, Larry, you take care of yourself. Don't be a stranger.
All right. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. And, you know, it's nice to learn some history of these great cities that we all live in. We want to thank Mr. Kane for that compelling interview. It is 814, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll go live to Washington, D.C. and take a look at what the administration is doing concerning Ebola. We've heard so much about it. And, you know, is it arrogance? Is it confidence when we're talking about this administration, when we're talking about the government with Ebola, when we're talking about our ability to handle it? You know, you have people saying, well, Kevin Miller, It's no big deal. We're the United States of America. We're not West Africa. In fact, you had one person say that exactly.
This isn't West Africa. This is a very modern city. We don't have the level of poverty that they have in West Africa that is very conducive to the spread of disease.
You know, you've got people in the Ebola house saying that they were discriminated against.
We have tried and true processes, protocols to stop the spread of infectious diseases.
Yeah, unfortunately, that did not work when it came to Dallas, Texas, right? Ebola continuing to be in the news. We go to Rachel Sutherland here at 580KIDO on Fox News Radio with the very latest. Let me see here at 580KIDO. Is this isn't Rachel? This is Fit.
Hello, this is Rachel.
Oh, sorry, my little malfunction on my call screening there. It's not my eyes this time. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about the Ebola reaction, correct, in Washington. What's going on?
Well, what's happening is that basically at this point there's going to be no travel ban on travel to these Western African nations that have been affected by Ebola. Instead, the president has announced plans to step up screening for the virus at checkpoints, both at departure sites and arrival sites. So say someone's gone to West Africa, they're coming home, they're going to take off their shoes and their belt and throw away their soda, and perhaps they'll be presented with a thermometer to take their temperature. We're not real sure of all of the details, but it looks like there will be additional screening for symptoms of the virus.
What about Rand Paul's comments about, look, you want to really spread it, bring back 4,000 troops and a ship?
Well, I mean, obviously nobody really wants to spread the virus, but, yeah, there are concerns about sending troops there to deal with this virus. I mean, exactly how are they going to eradicate the virus? They're troops, not doctors. So there is concern about that. But at the same time, they can fulfill some roles that might help these governments deal with the outbreak. But the president says that an outbreak here, they're just slim to no chance at all that we would have a major outbreak of Ebola. And partly, you know, he points to the world-class care we do have here, and it's kind of a good point, in that we have been able to cure both two missionaries and an American doctor who came back, treated to Emory and released. They're doing, well, we assume, well, they didn't die of Ebola. So if you're going to get Ebola, really, the United States is probably the place to get it.
Right, but on the other hand, you have the guy from Liberia that's not doing well, and the president said, I mean, I don't want to debate you, Rachel, but the other side of it, aren't there skeptics in Congress saying, well, Mr. President, you said, hey, you know, it was highly unlikely that it would come to the United States, and 2 weeks later, it's here.
Right, and certainly, Kevin, that's a good point. One moment they're saying, oh, it's not even really going to affect us. Next thing you know, we have someone who comes down with it here who's quarantined, and they're checking out their relatives and associates, and yeah, it is scary. And there are calls for this idea of a travel ban. But at this point, the administration is just saying it would do more harm than good.
Rachel, let me try and squeeze one more question in here with you. Apparently, there are four airports across the country, major airports, where the folks from West Africa come in. Are there any talks about whether I think Seattle, Chicago, I don't know if it's Atlanta and Newark, something like that, of putting more health workers there to try and, you know, get more, for lack of a better word, examination of these folks when they come in?
You know, I don't know. It's something I'll need to find out about the specifics of what's going to be done at individual airports. I don't really have the details on that yet and exactly how it will work. Would it be doctors doing the screening? Would it be TSA agents? How exactly will you monitor? And then there's questions about, well, someone could come through not showing symptoms, as with the guy in Dallas, and then get sick once they get home.
Well, you talk about holy liability, though. They've admitted that it was the doctors that didn't take him seriously because of the travel stuff. Anyway, I know you got to run, but next time, more time, Rachel Sutherland.
All right, Kevin.
Thank you. All right, our wonderful friend Rachel Sutherland. Coming up next at 580-5436, do you believe the government is doing enough to keep you, your family, your loved ones, and just everybody else safe from Ebola? They're pretty confident, but I want to hear from you next. My name is Kevin Miller. It is 819 at 580KIDO. Fortunately, it's, 49 degrees in Nampa. Time for traffic.
MC, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The best way to go about this, and it's a wonderful thing to attempt to do, and I think we can do it, is to go at this virus, to declare war on it, as it were, and go at it at the source, where it is in West Africa.
8:25, Kevin Miller in the morning talking about Ebola. Is it the government's role to protect you? Well, maybe it's covered under the Affordable Care Act. Sorry, elective surgery isn't. This isn't. Ebola may be. We go to the voluptuous Linda from Emmett at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, baby.
You know, this Ebola, not that I was alive then, but I've heard enough about it, that flu epidemic right after World War One that killed millions of people. Granted, we've made a lot of, you know, headway with our medicine and stuff that is supposed to work, but where in the, you know, whose mind is not screwed on right for allowing these people to come into this country? It's almost like ISIS is going, oh, this is a good way to get back at them. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's really going on, but it sure sounds awful strange to me. And they've got to tighten up security at the airports because, you know, they get enough people over here. We're all gonna pay one way or another.
Well, I would agree with you, and you know, it's funny because that Dallas hospital initially said it was a software glitch. But in reality, the doctor didn't listen to the guy and said, hey, I just came here from West Africa. Hello! Time for the quarantine, buddy.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody
but that would that be can... that'd be politically incorrect there, sweetheart.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but I can be, you know, politically incorrect if I feel like it. But, it, you know, so many, a couple other countries have banned flights coming in from any of the places in West Africa. Why can't we do the same? I realize somebody's going to yell racial, you know, what's the word I want?
Racial profiling.
Yeah.
All right. I'm with you.
It's like, you know, get smart. You know, you don't kill a rattlesnake by cutting off his tail. You kill the rattlesnake by chopping his head off. And it's, you know, this thing is going to go from bad to worse. To worser. And I don't understand. Well, of course, you know, with Obama at the head of the country, why hasn't Sam Hill, somebody hasn't shut off all our borders, and that includes incoming planes from anywhere in West Africa, is beyond me.
Good point. Linda from Emmett, thank you. Doug in CUNA with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Hello, Doug.
Good morning, sir. Hey, I'm really getting the impression that we're basically on Hogan's Heroes here. You know, we've got Obama, and I'm not sure if he's
Clink,
Sarah Clink or Sergeant Schultz. But, you know, in his interview yesterday, he said, yeah, we're in the process of writing up protocols on how to deal with this. Well, good God, we've been dealing with this, or Africa's been dealing with it for months. What have they been doing for the last six months? Absolutely nothing. They should have had all this stuff ready to put in place immediately at the first sign of any problem. And, you know, they're so busy running around chasing their tails. And it's pathetic. And I think Obama and his administration, they're so incompetent or inept, it's pathetic. They should get him out of office and start over.
Doug, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Kevin Miller. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at, well, a few things. We're going to speak with our great friend Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio. And then we're going to get the view from the government, because on the Sunday shows, you had people that were very confident. David Axelrod, Obama's right-hand guy, basically being very condescending to folks who are concerned about Ebola. Don't you believe it's a legitimate threat? I do. Jeff Manasseh will join us about the latest ISIS hostage who is pleading for his life. Details next. Kevin Miller, stay tuned. 580 KIDO.
Alex Jones, weekday evenings at 7. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now, for entertainment purposes only, you remember our great friend Paul Feinbaum, and Paul has a lot of crazy callers, and we're going to try and segue this together here before we get to Jeff Manasso. Fox News Radio, this is Chris Troupas' statement. You remember this.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Now, what happens when sports becomes your life and you forget everything else? From our friend Mr. Feinbaum's show yesterday on the SEC Network, here's a rabid Alabama fan, Phyllis from Mulga, that she'll get you listening. Let's take a listen.
Now, Turd, you are just, I don't even have a name for you anymore, except Cow Turd. How dare you say that about Alabama? They lose the game. They lose the game, and they lost it to a good team. The team beat Alabama. But how can you say, after the dynasty took all these years, all these decades, one game is going to mean that Saban's dynasty is over? You're out of your freaking mind, Cow Turd. You need to go back to whatever the hell you was doing before you got on the radio. And how dare you call me out? You call me out, you're going to get me back. You hear me, you punk? How dare you? I don't understand the way you act towards it's Bama. That's what it is. It's Bama. You don't hate any team in this nation except for Bama. And you know why? Because they're better than what you've got. Nick Saban is a better man than you are. You could never coach because you don't have a bit of coaching in your body. You have nothing but to sit there and insult and down and just carry on about everybody that's doing something different than you. You're jealous. That's the bottom line. You're jealous. And Bama's coming back. Bama has not lost. The dynasty is not over. Do you hear me, Cowherd? Bama's dynasty has just begun. Kiss my butt. Roll Tide.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
And there we have it, the infamous Phyllis from Mulga with our friend Paul Feinbaum. And having worked with Paul for years and knowing Phyllis personally, well, sometimes you're just speechless. Fortunately, Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, caught the very tail end of that. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Passion, passion, passion when we're talking college football and pro football. I don't know if you caught the very tail end of Phyllis from Mulga there.
Sounded pretty passionate.
Very fired up, indeed. On a serious note, the world is wondering what's next for ISIS and their hostage, and I know you've been covering the very latest.
You're talking about Peter Kasich from Indiana. He's a 26-year-old former Army Ranger who we found out Friday ISIS has. He was kidnapped back in or taken captive back in October of last year in Syria. And we weren't aware of him, at least the public wasn't aware of him. Apparently, ISIS had told Kasich's family members, do not go public with this, and that will help you in the negotiation process. Well, we saw last week in the latest video they released of the British aid worker, Alan Henning, being beheaded. The camera then panned on to Peter Kasich, who voluntarily changed his name to Abdul Rahman last year after voluntarily changing his religion to converting to Islam, essentially that he was next, unless the U.S., the West, stopped the bombing campaign in Syria and Iraq. So that's when the family came forward. They also released a letter that he had written to them, essentially saying that if you know he was afraid to die, but that if he is killed, that his family should take comfort knowing that he went out trying to help those in need. Essentially, he's a guy from Indiana who is going through, trying to find himself. And he thought, you know, what better way than to go and volunteer and to help, you know, those in need. He was driving an aid truck, a truck with aid to Palestinian refugees at a refugee camp in South Beirut, at a hospital in Lebanon, bringing supplies to those areas when he was captured.
And here you have this aid worker. He's captured and now may pay for his sympathy, his empathy, his work for these people, for these other folks, with his life.
Yeah, unfortunately so.
Any reaction from anybody within the government?
Other than condemning what ISIS has done, they've been pretty tight-lipped. I would imagine that behind the scenes they're doing what they can, but how can you talk to a group like this?
Jeff Manasa with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Jeff from Fox News Radio here at 580KIDO. You know, you've covered a lot of things. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this where you have a group announcing somebody's going to die and then showing them dying and then saying the next person's next, psychologically, emotionally, and having the venue through social media to do it. How do you define it?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's the definition of terror, and even more scary is, you mentioned social media. This world in which we live in, the internet. This guy who was arrested in O'Hare Airport over the weekend, he was essentially recruited. Apparently, he was arrested in O'Hare trying to go to Turkey and then to Syria to fight with ISIS. Bolingbrook, Illinois is where he's from. He faces 15 years in prison. He's in court this week, but he essentially told the feds, the FBI, that he was recruited online, and that's a scary thing. These terrorists are using the internet to recruit people all around the world. That's stunning.
It is, and there seems to be no solution to it, and hopefully for this gentleman's sake that perhaps he can get a reprieve.
Well, one would hope. One would hope. I would say that pray for this guy, because it's not looking good.
Jeff Manasa, we always appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Our friend Jeff Manasa joining us here at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number is 580-5436, 580KIDO. If you want to sound off on ISIS, here you have. And in all seriousness, as Jeff has brought this to our attention, here you have a person who served our country, was finding himself, was driving an aid truck in Lebanon, having nothing to do with the war or anything else, grabbed, kidnapped, let's just say coerced to change his religion. Hey, chances are you can survive if you give up your Christianity and become one of us. And then, right next, it's as if it's a TV show, but it's real. You have this goof, tough guy, jerk, Jihadi John, wearing his ninja outfit. And look, he looks like a ninja. Cutting somebody's head off, and people say, oh, it's an act. Oh, it's a gimmick. And then you have the person dressed in the same outfit standing right next to the guy going, he's next. Now, what do you do? What do you do if you're the president of the United States? Send 4,000 troops to Africa to fight Ebola? Or send in the 101st or the 82nd to wipe out Jihadist John? Which would you do? Give you my answer next. 8:46, time for traffic.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I think we're looking at kind of a 30-year war kind of history here, in which it's going to take a long time to be able to go after these elements.
There you have it. Leon Panetta coming out with his new book talking about a 30-year war. Can America, are you willing to fight a 30-year war? Might be a 300-year war with these extremists. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436.
But here's a question that needs to be revisited, and this is from Channel 7.
Ambush Protected Vehicle, or MRAP. It's been used 13 times since September 2013. Nampa Police Chief Craig Kingsbury says it is only used in high-risk situations.
Not just protection for the officers, but I look at it more importantly, I look at protection for my daughter, protection for your son.
One of the biggest concerns about the MRAP has been the intimidation factor. Harmony Rice wanted to hear the chief's presentation because she says it scares the community.
It makes us wonder what it's really necessary for.
Chief Kingsbury says it's not about probability, it's about possibility and being prepared for the worst.
Look at what has happened across this country in school shootings or workplace violence shootings. And I think that would be something that we would really be glad to have this this tool to rescue people and get them out of that situation and get them to safety and get them medical help a lot more quickly than we could have without this.
A policy is now going to be drawn up between the city and the police department for using the MRAP. Mayor Bob Henry says it wasn't done with city council approval before.
The whole way we got it was kind of secretive. So let's just bring it out in the open, and that's what we did.
The whole way we got it was secretive. So we have a mind-resistant vehicle. You have the mayor of Nampa saying, the whole way we got it was secretive.
I feel good about the discussion. I feel good about the discussion that we had.
There we have it there from our friends at Channel 7, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO, which begs the question, when you see an MRAP coming, are you cheering? When you see an MRAP coming, are you thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, here comes the cavalry? Or is this another example of big government taking over your lives? Is it time to get out the Patrick Swayze classic Red Dawn? And quite frankly, in Idaho, and remember we saw this the other day, they had the MRAP out, what was it, a month ago? And the guy got away anyway? Guy got away, MRAP still out in front? And I suppose to criticize the police using this military vehicle, you're going to say, well, are you willing to risk the lives of officers that put it on the line for you each and every day? I really don't think anybody is willing to do that. But on the other hand, you'd be a dummy to think that this is an overkill. You know where you use the MRAPs? You use it in the places where the police are afraid to go. In those neighborhoods in California with the gangbangers. You go to the place in Arizona, you know the place, where the narco-terrorists run wild and free, so much so that the federal government actually puts signs on the highway saying, don't go in here, we can't guarantee your safety. That's in America. We're not talking about Mexico. We're talking about America. Can you tell me that there are places in Nampa, places in Idaho, where the police are afraid to go? And not afraid when we're talking courage, because to be a police officer is courageous itself. But what I'm talking about is there's a high probability you're going to be shot at. As you heard the chief saying, look, if it's going to allow us to do this, that, and the other, it's going to allow us to get people proper medical attention. Well, how many times has somebody been seriously hurt that the MRAP has saved their life? It only takes one, Kevin Miller. It comes down to something that we've been covering for years now, the militarization of the police. And instead of having that friendly, community-minded police officer, you see police officers today dressed up in tactical gear, dressed up in this, that, and the other. And quite frankly, let's face it here at 580KIDO, do we have legitimate threats? Now, Sheriff Rainey will tell you, Sheriff Donahue will tell you there are gangbangers that are threats. Great. But if you have a disturbance in your neighborhood, do you want the MRAP showing up? Do you want the MRAP showing up to your neighborhood? Facebook me, Kevin Miller, or like us, 580KIDO's Facebook, and I'd like to hear from you. We will discuss this more tomorrow. Right now it is 54 and Star. Let's get you to traffic at 5. And a final thought when we're talking about Ebola. Here you have the back and forth between the folks at NBC over the weekend. Actually, why don't we just save that? We'll just save that. We'll save that for you here. We'll talk a little bit about tomorrow where David Axelrod calls Joe Scarborough, Dr. Scarborough, and Gwen Ifill says, oh, 300 people die and we're worried about Ebola here in this country. There's no panic. People don't look for the government to save them. What is the Center for Disease Control? Why did we go and pick up those folks and bring them back here and save their lives? My goodness, the press needs to be objective. And if they're not, then you need to start your own network or do us a favor and strengthen this one. Look, I tell you, and it's funny, I see the arrogance of people that I work with. Look, every day is a struggle to keep this show going. Don't let them fool you. It'd be very easy to pipe in Timmy from Albuquerque. And that's where it's at. Don't be so offensive. Don't talk about the issues. Just talk about happy stuff. If you want the truth, we need your help. We've got, especially now more than ever. You know, we used to get tired saying that. It's the truth. It's the world we live in. Appreciate you listening. Thank you for your support. Good day. God bless. And above all, no matter what, no matter when, keep the faith. Judy Emmett.